Hallelujah. It's going to be good tonight. I'm excited about this series. Love this series, you know. Preached this series several times, and I'll tell you, it'll be a blessing to you. If you'll do what this series is teaching you, you let the Word water you, praise God. You know, God, when I was saying wants to invade every area of your life, listen, He didn't give you Jesus so you could struggle with sickness. He didn't give you Jesus for Him to then be okay that you're broke. He didn't give you Jesus so then He would be okay if you're depressed or filled with anxiety and fear. No, He gave you Jesus to fix every wrong in your life. And the Bible says that in Him you'll have peace. Jesus is the void filler, praise God. So we're excited about Jesus and what He's doing. But go with me to John chapter 15 and verse 7. Of course, we had last week off, you know. It's tough because I'm not a weatherman. And when they have warnings, we have people that come from so many different areas, especially people that are workers here that are faithful and, you know, come from 30, 40 minutes away. And it's just hard when they do a warning and for a night service, I just tend to normally just cancel those. So don't be upset with us. We do it to bless people. And hallelujah. You know, there's plenty of archives. If you need the Word, you can get it. But John 15 and verse 7, Father, help us tonight. May my words be your words. May what you want done be done in this service. Father, we need heaven tonight. Lord, we're not here for man's plans, man's ideas, man's opinions, philosophies, or theories, or thoughts. We want what you want, Father. So, Lord, I ask that you'd speak through me. Father, the Apostle Paul prayed that way, that you would give him utterance, that you'd give him boldness, that his speech and his preaching and teaching would not be with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration in the Spirit and power. And so, Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you'll fill it, and you're going to hit bullseyes in the hearts of every person here tonight. And what I mean by that, Father, is that I'm going to say things that are so specific and pertinent to every single person's heart. They're going to think, he's talking just to me, that this was specifically tailored for me. Father, we thank you for moments like that in the service. And Lord, it's a sign that you're real. Father, that you have a better tomorrow for us and that this is a safe place where people can come and hear the Word of God. So, Father, we welcome it all. We thank you for it. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in John 15, 7, this is the second message in our series titled Bearing Forth or Bringing Forth Much Fruit. You say, what do you mean about bringing forth much fruit? Well, in John chapter 15 and verse 7, look what it says. These are the words of Jesus. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, look at the end result of this verse. This is a good one. You want to keep this one in your back pocket. It says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it, look at this, it shall be done unto you. That is good news. Amen. Hallelujah. God's not pushing you away in prayer. God's not pushing you away when you need stuff. No, he's saying, come to me, praise God. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain from him. That's what he says, that we may obtain. So many people think God's against us, God's mad at us, God's pushed us away. No, he says, come unto me, praise God. Doesn't the Bible say, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open unto you? That doesn't sound like a God that's rejecting his children. I don't reject my children. When my children are in need, my children need stuff, I'm glad when they come to me. Amen. I'm not pushing them away, and God's certainly a much better father than I am. But he says if you'll do these things that we talk about here, it says that you will ask what it'll be done, and it'll be done unto you. And then in verse 8, it's continuation of this verse. It says, herein. Now he's talking to the herein of what he just mentioned, is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So the much fruit that he's talking about are the verses before where he says, ask and it'll be done unto you. Well, when you're asking, it's because you don't have what you need or you're lacking whatever it is and you're believing him or you're releasing your faith. And so when he says it'll be done unto you, what's that? That's it showing up in the natural. That's believing for healing and the healing showing up. Believing for the job or the provision and it showing up. Believing for the favor and it showing up. Believing things for your kids. It's talking about the receiving part of it. And the Bible calls that much fruit. And the Bible says that God is glorified when we bear much fruit. Well, what is the much fruit? We looked at it in the first week. The much fruit is everything we could ever need spiritually and everything we could ever need naturally. God wants us producing much fruit. And it says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Why would God want us bearing much fruit? Well, I told you the story, you know, as a young boy, there were certain people that I was around. I think back to, you know, and it wasn't every Christian I ever came in contact with, but when I got into being an age where I understood some things, teenage boy, you know, things like that, I started to look around and realize that there are certain people in my life that, boy, they're church going. They are Christians. I mean, you know, I didn't know back then, but they loved the Lord. They were born again. They're heaven bound. But I'll tell you what, the way that the if their life is a tree, the fruit that was coming off of them was not something that was contagious for me to want. What are we talking about? People, judgmental people. People full of condemnation, people full of worry, fear, and anxiety, people sick, people broke, people in chaos, and no different than what the world's going through. And that's the Jesus that tried to get shoved down my throat that I pushed together. I thought, why would I want that? See, you have to understand, the way your life looks reflects on Dad. If my kids showed up to church, Caleb and Abby, they're home right now, if they showed up to church, in the wintertime, no winter coat, no clothing, hardly any clothing on them, completely dirty, looking like the nutrition, they're not getting fed well. Guess who you're looking at? You're looking at Dad. Mom and Dad, what's going on at home? Why aren't they, they ought to look different. They ought to be different, especially if Dad shows up in a suit and Mom shows up in her clothes and the kids show up like that. Listen, your Heavenly Father's not sitting on the throne in rags. He paves the stinking streets with gold, just so you know. There's no lack in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no fear in heaven. There's no worry in heaven. That's how your Heavenly Father's living. And when we as Christians don't bear forth the fruit that He says we can have, which are things like joy, peace. The Bible says we can have prosperity. The Bible says we can have health and healing. The Bible says we can have a sound mind. When we don't bear forth that and we look like the world, we are representing the Father in a wrong way. And so He's saying, I want you to bear the fruit that I have for you. Why? I want you to turn other people on to me. And I told you as a young boy, depressed, sick in body, sick in mind, broken finances. It wasn't until I was around a Christian on a baseball team that just had love coming off of them, had generosity coming off of them, had kindness coming off of them, had mercy. There was a gentleman that led me to the Lord, my friend, Reverend Randy Nelbone. He was full of joy, full of peace. He was generous with me. He was merciful. He was patient with me. You know, I had quite a mouth back then. And he wasn't, you got to stop and shut. You can't say that. Don't say that. Just loved me. Just kind to me. And I saw his life. It was victorious. He was walking and looking like something that I wanted as a depressed, poor, sick young man. I looked at a Christian who was bearing fruit. I said, I want that. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I was drawn to that. Listen, we are billboards for Jesus. Amen. We ought not to be the ones in our job that are worried. We ought not to be the ones during coronavirus that are scared out of our minds. We ought not be the ones when things go south in our lives and the economy and all this stuff where we're complaining and being bitter and full of grudge. We ought not to be those people. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? It makes things taste better.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Oh, it's always a tough thing when I'm at my mother-in-law's and I'm asking for, where's the salt? Yeah. I need more salt. Slip the salt under the table. Would you? I got to get that salt. But we're supposed to make things taste better, not make people have a sour taste in their mouth. How many people have been turned off by Christians? I was turned off by Christians. Well, we ought to be bearing the fruit that looks like Him. Didn't Jesus say, Thy Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on the earth. Now, here we go. Not as it is down in the ghetto, not as it is down on barely get along street or broken alley down. No, no, no. He says, I want the will of God to take place on the earth as it is in heaven. They're not sick up there. They're not depressed up there. They're not full of fear up there. They're not anxious up there. They're not grumpy up there. They don't walk out of love. They're not touchy. No, they're living like God is. Peace and joy. And Christians, a lot of times, it's not that way. But I'll tell you what, when you start walking into that, not only does it bless your life, not only is it more enjoyable to not be broke, to not be sick, to not be depressed, to not be angry, it's more enjoyable to be patient than impatient. Not only does that bless your life, it's a billboard and the Father's glorified. Amen. And so he says that we bear forth much fruit. And then 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, just trying to do a little quick review here. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. This series will change your life. It will change your life. The Word will do that for you. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Paul said this. He said, "For we are laborers together with God." See, that'll just kick religion right between the eyes right there. Everybody thinks God's just going to do it. No, no, no. We have a part. We have a part to play. We're co-laborers with Him. That means He has a part, God's side, man has a part. And so many people are missing out because they're not doing their part. They just think, like what I grew up in, that there's a God, and if my number comes up in heaven today, God will do something for me. But if not, oh well, at least I get to go to heaven. No, we're co-laborers with Him. Man's side, God's side. We got to find out our part to play. But he says, you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now, that word husbandry is a little bit blind to many of us in the King James, but Kim Lai, would you pull that up in the Amplified? And all the Amplified is, you remember the New Testament was not written in English, it was written in Greek. The Old Testament was not written in English, it was written in Hebrew. And the Amplified, what it does is it amplifies those languages and brings it forth, because the Greek and the Hebrew language are far more complex and deep language than English is. And so it says here, "For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together," now notice this, "with and for God." You are God's garden, God's vineyard, and God's field under cultivation. Now think about those things. This is another example where God uses a natural example to illustrate a spiritual truth. Jesus did it all the time. But he likens you to three things: a garden, a vineyard, and a field. What do a garden, a vineyard, and a field have in common? They are supposed to, when they're working at their highest and best flow, to produce something that is a blessing. People plant a garden, why? To produce something that is a blessing to them. People plant a vineyard to produce something. People go out and cultivate and work a field to get a harvest, to get production. And God is saying, just like he said in John 15, you're to bear forth much fruit. Well, how can you bear much fruit? Because spiritually speaking, you're like a garden, a vineyard, and a field. Okay? Do you see that's important for you? Basically, God's calling you a piece of dirt. Take it up with him in heaven. That's just what he said, you know. That's just what he said. So, we have this here now. Go back to John 15 and verse 7. So we're a garden, excuse me, a field and a vineyard. John 15 and verse 7. We're a garden, a field, and a vineyard. And in John 15, 7, he says what? He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, it'll be done in you." What's he saying? Things are going to spring forth. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Well, when an apple tree, you know, they get in the wintertime and stuff, no fruit there, but then when it comes harvest time, something different shows up. There was a manifestation of a blessing, right? And so when it says bear much fruit, that means things that weren't there are now there in your life. But notice this, verse 7 tells you exactly how it's going to happen. He says, if, and there you go, if it was all up to him, he wouldn't put the word if. And the second word after that puts you even in a harder spot. You, if you, the a whole lot of the Bible has depended on if you. Isaac sowed and got 100-fold. Isaac didn't just get 100-fold. No, Isaac did something. Amen. If you, so you got to do something here. Abide in me, Jesus said, and my words in you. Well, him and his word are the same thing. Jesus is the word, the Bible says in John chapter 1. But he says, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, he said, then you'll ask. There's a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of asking and getting a whole lot of not receiving. You want to know why? They're leaving out the beginning. This isn't just name it and claim it. This isn't just throw out whatever I want to say and just expect, like, it's like pulling the lever or some hocus pocus magic thing. No, There's an if you part. And your part is what? Abiding in him and his words abiding in you. Then you'll ask and the fruit will come forth. Well, so it says, basically what he's telling you here is if you'll do the right thing with the word. Because he says that dependent on whether or not you bear forth much fruit depends on his words and what you do with his words. Well, I'm glad the Bible doesn't leave us to wonder what in the world are we supposed to do. He tells us exactly what to do with his word. Go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, and this is where we're spending the meat of our time in this series. Mark 4 and verse 14. I'm going to read down through here, and then we're going to go on, because we kind of laid the groundwork last week, or 2 weeks ago, but because of having a week off, I wanted to do a little bit more review for you. But notice in verse 14, it says, "The sower sows the word." Now, this is a parable. Remember, if you look at the verses before, Jesus actually talked about a real person sowing real seed into real ground. And he talked about the different ground that the seed falls on and what happens in that ground. Remember, the disciples said, basically, "We don't understand. We're not picking up what you're putting down, sir." They're saying, "We don't understand this." And so he said, "Hear the parable of the sower." He said, "The sower sows the word." So now the person in the parable that was sowing the seed, is there still a person sowing, but they're sowing something different. They're sowing the word of God, which is likened to a seed. He says, "The sower sows the word." And just like in the parable, when the seed is sown, it falls on a ground. And it says, "The sower sows the word." Now you're going to see in the next verses, 15 through 20, that there's four types of ground that Jesus said the seed will fall on. But remember, the ground represents people. He said, "These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." That's the wayside ground. We're going to look at that in a second. "These are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." There's another one. "And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." That's what I'm talking about tomorrow in South Dayton. It says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on the good ground. Hear the word, receive it." Now here it is. "Bring forth fruit." Well, how did they bring forth fruit? The seed or the word fell on the right kind of ground, and something changed. It says, it brings forth fruit some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, isn't it interesting that we looked at in the first week that the seed of the Word of God is perfection? Yeah. Bible calls it incorruptible. Bible calls it powerful, alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. There's nothing wrong with a seed, yeah. Right? Yeah. Nothing wrong with a seed. Remember I was telling you about my blackberry smoothie? Yeah. Do you remember the story of Pastor Mike's blackberry smoothie? Well, I like to chew on things and like straws and stuff. And so I got done with this blackberry smoothie and all the seeds, you know, at that last gulp got in my mouth. I'm like, "Well, that's interesting." So I started chewing on them, you know, swallowing some of them. And I got the thought, that's a lot of blackberry seeds I'm swallowing. Is a blackberry bush going to grow in my belly? That's the thought I had. I started thinking, is a blackberry, like, is that possible with this many seeds? I've never had this many seeds before. And then I came into my right mind and realized that's probably not going to happen. But here's the thing. Those blackberry seeds, put them in another place, and they'll grow a blackberry bush. Wrong ground. Not a good place to sow them. Nothing going to produce with that seed. But take those same seeds, plant them somewhere else, and guess what you're going to get? A harvest. Four types of ground that people. Three of the types of ground had the perfect, supernatural, powerful, life-changing seed fall on them and didn't produce anything. Was it the seed's fault? No. Was it the sower's fault? Mm-mm. Where it landed was the problem. Amen? And only one of the four, 25%, only one of the four received anything when every single one of them had the same opportunity. I've preached, you know, for years now and seen same messages go forth. I've seen some people run with them and bring forth so much fruit, and other people, they're still going around the mountain of lack, going around the mountain of sadness, going around the mountain of lack, going around the mountain. Is it the sower's fault? No, I'm just sowing the word. Is it the seed's fault? No, it's producing in other people. It's the ground, people. And we said if we're going to benefit from this, we have to come to the word humbly with a correctable heart. Because in this series, week by week, we're going to look at the different grounds. And the first three grounds are the grounds that didn't produce anything. And we need to look at our lives and say, you know what? My life kind of looks like that ground. I better make an adjustment. We're not going to get offended. We're not going to get huffy and puffy. Amen? No huffy puffiness around here. We're going to receive what Jesus has for us. Why? Because it's not the things you're doing right that's hurting you. Just so you know, it's the things you're doing wrong. Praise God. So we're going to look at the wayside ground here in verse 15 today. And I'm going to go over about the wayside ground, look at some things and help you. So why? We're going to look at our lives. We say, you know what? I have some characteristics of the wayside ground. I better change that. Why? Because the wayside ground didn't produce anything. He said, these are they, verse 15, which are sown by the wayside. The word is sown. Now remember, the word is sown. The uncorruptible, supernatural, powerful word of God hit this ground of people. But the Bible says when they heard, Satan came immediately and takes away the word out of their heart. Now, notice the very first thing that you need to see, and it sets the tone for all of the other grounds. You're going to find that in this parable, the number one thing that's under assault and the number one thing that's under attack is the Word of God. Why? It was only the Word that caused the good ground to bring forth much fruit. It didn't say the churchgoers. It didn't say the kind, moral people. It didn't say the people that have Jesus fish stickers on their car and the ones that listen to Family Life Network and turn off the rock stations. No! It says the ones that did the right thing with the Word. Amen? That's what it said. But notice right off the bat, it says, when the wayside ground has heard the Word, immediately, pay attention, immediately, Satan comes to do what? Steal it. Why? Take away the Word, take away the fruit. There's an attack on the Word of God. Amen. There's attack on the Word of God. Now, why, not only is there the fruit here, but why would Satan, of course Satan wants you to be kept at a low level. He wants you to not bear forth much fruit. He likes when you struggle. He's a stealer, killer, and destroyer. But there's a greater reason here why the devil would want to get the word out of your life. Go with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 17. Ephesians 6 and verse 17. Can't let the word get out of your life, people. You know what the coronavirus was? A word robber. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It was a word robber. It's a thief trying to take the word out of people's lives. Glory to God. And you're going to see in all the grounds, the attacks on the word. Get the word out of your life. Get the word out of their life. Get the blessings out of their life. Amen. Don't look at me like a cow at a new gate. Like you're all concerned, and what's he talking? Is he mad at us tonight? Nope, I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. But if you want change in your life, you got to do something about it. If you say, you know what, I don't like what 2020 brought forth in my life. Okay, well, why don't you start planting differently? Watering differently. Working on the ground. You know, I've talked to you about this. I'm not, by God, Lord knows this, I am so far from perfect. But I'll tell you what, January 10th, 2002, I'm a lot different than I am back then. Back then, I was depressed. Back then, I was sick. Back then, I was broke. Back then, I was messed up in my head. Well, coming into it, I had about every characteristic of every ground that was bad. And you know what I had to do? Work the field. Work the ground. Got a plot of land. It needs more. Needs some rocks taken out of it. Needs some more stuff put down on it to get the soil better. You had to work that ground. You had to plow it a couple times. Disc it, you know. You had to work the ground. You can work that ground until make it good to start producing for you. Amen? Hallelujah. So there's hope for you tonight. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 17 says, this is talking about the armor of God, says, take the helmet of salvation. Notice this, and the sword of the Spirit. Well, this is the only piece of equipment in the armor of God that's offensive. Every other piece that you find there is defensive in nature. Shield, I mean, you could use a shield offensively, don't misunderstand me, but mostly shields for blocking. Helmet for protection, right? Breastplate to keep you protected. But the sword is different. The sword goes forth to cut things down. I mean, of course, they didn't have guns back then, so that was their weapon. The sword. And the Bible, again, takes a natural example and likens it to a spiritual truth. It says that the word is the Spirit of God. Now, I don't mean to be funny when I do this, or facetious, or whatever word you'd want to put in there, but when it says the Bible's the sword of the Spirit, well, what does that mean? How do we then make it work for us when the devil's attacking us or attacking our body? Do we swing it or, you know, javelin with it, you know, and run at somebody with the sword? I mean, I'm being serious here. No, you don't. How many of you know Jesus is our example? That word there, where it says, which is the word of God, again, Greek language, that word means rhema. You know what the word rhema means in the Greek? The spoken word of God. Now, let me give you an example that will help you understand. I've used this many times. So the Bible says that the word is the sword of the Spirit. But the Bible, and we're going to look at, in Luke 8:12, it talks about that the word falls on their heart, and thereby they can receive it and believe. And without the word, there's no fruit that comes forth. Now, think about the fruit of salvation. Got anybody born again in here tonight? Think about how you got saved. You know, the Bible says, here's what you need to understand. The greatest miracle of your life was being translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It was a miracle, an absolute miracle. But you had a part to play in it. It didn't just happen. Well, we know that in this book are the very words that we were able to apply to our lives and be translated from darkness to light, right? We found them from this Bible. But how many of you know this Bible is sitting on the shelf at Walmart and bookstores all over the world, and people that are not born again, people that are hellbound, are walking by the very thing that has the power to save them and change them, but just because it's in there and just because it's the sword, the devil doesn't get cut down in their life. Even though it's contained in here. How did you get born again? You took the word, you got it in your heart, but the Bible then says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Yeah. Romans 10:9 says, thou shalt confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says faith first starts in your heart and then works out of your mouth. And so you didn't get saved just because salvation was available, just because there was help in this book. No, you got the words in your heart and you believed with your mouth and salvation came unto you. Well, he says, Ephesians 6:17, that the word is the sword of the Spirit. So we don't use the word to cut down naturally like that, but when we put the word of God in our mouth, it cuts the devil down. Say, give me an example, Pastor Mike. Well, I'm glad you asked me to do that, because now I will. What about Jesus in the wilderness? In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. And in that wilderness, in that temptation, what happened? The devil came to him, didn't he? Quiet down now. The devil came to him. And what did the devil do? Tempted him with stuff. And what did Jesus do? Oh, Father, help me. No. Never prayed one time about taking care of the devil. If you listen to my authority series that I'm currently teaching on Wednesday night, you'll find in the Bible not one place, and you can look till next week. I mean, I'll give you $1,000 if you can find one spot in the Bible where it says that God's going to do anything about the devil for you as a Christian on the earth. Now, of course, he's going to get thrown in chains, but I'm talking while you're living here on earth. The Bible says over and over, you're to do something about the devil, not God. You have authority over him. God's not doing it for you. Hallelujah. And so Jesus, oh, Father, oh, call the prayer team. Oh, get everyone to do that. No, no, no. What did Jesus do every time? He said, it is written. He opened his mouth and quoted Scripture, didn't he? Every time the devil brought something to him, he opened his mouth, quoted Scripture. And what did the Bible say in Luke chapter 4? Ended up happening. And the devil departed him. What was Jesus doing to cut down the devil? Putting the word in his mouth and speaking the word. Why would the devil want to get the word out of your mouth? Because if he can get the word out of your mouth, he stops taking a licking. Yeah. I tell the story many times about my daughter, 7-year-old Abby. And just to kind of give you an idea of 7-year-old Abby and 10-year-old Caleb, he's almost twice her size, you know. But my goodness, she's a fireball. One time we were coming back from service here, was when we were still in the warehouse. And I don't know what happened back there. It was quiet. Everything was good. And you know that sound when a fist hits a jaw? It makes a certain sound. She cold cocked him just out of the blue. I was out of the dark. It was dark. All of a sudden, we heard that. And Caleb's like, Abby just punched me. That's Abby. We're working on Abby. No judgment. No judgment. Just pray for your pastor. We're working on Abby. And anyway, so she wanted to play, I think it's a show, Elena of Avatar. I don't know what it is. Has anybody heard that show, Elena of Avatar? Is that like a little girl show? Well, the girl has a sword. She got one of those little swords. She saw it at Walmart, wanted the sword. And she's going around, and I'm the enemy, and I'm the bad guy, and she's whacking me with that thing, whacking me with that thing, whacking me with that thing. Well, after a while, I got tired of playing with Abby. I said, I don't like this anymore. I'm going to leave you now. We're done playing this. Well, what did Jesus keep doing? It's written, smack, it's written, smack, it's written, smack. And what did the devil do? I'm out of here. See you later. Why would he want to get the word out of your mouth? It's your weapon. And see, people aren't going to be speaking the word until it's first in the word. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And the Bible says the word falls on people's hearts. They believe first, and then you speak it. You didn't speak your salvation before you believed it.
Right.
Amen. Glory to God. So why does Satan want to get the word out of your life? Same thing. I want to get the sword out of Abby's hands.
Yeah.
It's no fun getting licked. The devil's no different, praise God. You know, you're being harassed by the enemy. I always call it spiritual trash talking. You watch the oppression that comes against you and the thoughts, because he's in the thought realm. He bombards with thoughts and pressure and circumstances. If you'll give him a good spiritual trash talking, what am I talking about? Devil, I just want you to know it's going to be a hot eternity for you. You know, I'll be a hot day outside, or if I'm standing by the fire, I'll say, devil, you think this is hot. It's going to be a hot day. You see, people think, oh, the devil, he loves hell. No, no, that's where the devil's going to be tormented for the rest of eternity. He's not a fan of hell. Hallelujah. He wants people to go there. But you start telling him, you know what? You're not even redeemed. I'm saved. When he starts beating you up about how stupid you were and how could you do this, start beating him up about how stupid he is.
Yeah.
Devil, you're the biggest idiot I've ever seen in my life. You were in the presence of God and you still failed. I'd never seen God and I missed it. But you saw God and you still missed it. You thought you could overtake God. How dumb are you? Say, was that Eric? No, it's speaking the word. That's the word. And it's thumping him. And so many people are quiet. Jesus was not quiet when the oppression came to them. So many people sink and shrink within themselves and get quiet. And that's when the devil feasts on you. You want results like Jesus had? You got to do what Jesus did. He was our author. He was our example. He didn't get quiet in the time of testing. He got loud. Praise God. It's true. Now, real quick, with the remaining time we have, a few minutes we have here. Wanted to be done by 7, but I think that's going to be a stretch. But we'll make it happen as quick as we can. Go to Matthew 13:19. Matthew 13:19. I'm just going to, by faith, say Amy is down there having a great time with all your children. And she's hoping that I go longer tonight. That's what I'm thinking. She's saying, I just hope. I'm having so much fun with all these other people's kids. Even though I got to go home and take care of my own two kids, I'm still having so much fun with all your kids. Just keep preaching, Pastor Mike. That's what we're believing is happening. So in Matthew 13:19, this is Matthew's rendering of the parable of the sower. Remember the Bible says Satan comes immediately, takes away the word? Well, here's one of the reasons the word gets taken away out of people's lives. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one, catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received by the wayside. Hallelujah. Do you know how many people I've had the unfortunate pleasure of being around that I'll preach something? I just got to tell you this. The churches that I grew up in, I heard Pastor Nancy say this not too long ago. She said she was glad she grew up in a church that didn't teach her anything rather than one that taught her a whole bunch wrong. She would have preferred to grow up in a right church, but when you grow up getting taught wrong, you got to unlearn a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That was me. I didn't grow up in a church that taught me wrong. I grew up in a church that didn't teach me anything, which was better for me. And so when I came into a church like this that believes in the move of the Holy Ghost, that believes in New Testament things like miracles, signs, and wonders, and speaking in tongues, and laying on of hands, you know New Testament stuff.
Yeah.
It blew this little Methodist white boy away. I thought, my God, this is the granola section of the church. The fruity, the flaky, and the nutty. people raising their hands, shouting unto God. You know, just basically copying what heaven's doing. There's a whole lot of people ain't gonna like what heaven's like. All those Presbyterians are gonna get there. What is going on? It's loud up here. There is noise in heaven, worship in heaven, praise in heaven, joy in heaven. Amen. It's true. And let's face it, a lot of our church services down here in America, down here in the world, they're like lemon sucking contests. It's like going to a funeral. I'm just telling the truth. That's what I grew up in. Amen. And so I came into this kind of a church. I thought, what in the world did I get myself into? But when my pastor opened his mouth, he had scripture to back up everything he said. I thought, wow, I don't understand it all. And it sure is weird, some of these things that you're teaching me and some of these things I've never heard before. But I realized something and recognized something. Number one, I don't know it all. That's a good place to get to when you realize you're not a know-it-all. Because you're not. There's more you don't know than you do know. And there might be things you've not seen yet. Amen? Hallelujah. There might be, I never would have thought pineapple on a pizza was possible until I saw it. And I realized that's a thing. You might not know about baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in our tongues until you hear about it, learn about it, and find out it's a thing. You might not know the laying on of hands of the sick, people falling under the power of God. I know there's been a sect of Christianity that's run wild and swing from the chandeliers and do things in chaos and out of order that have given bad tastes in people's mouth, but they're still a center of the road. You don't have to be a crazy swinging from the chandelier off in that ditch, and you don't have to be off in the ditch over here that's like lemon-sucking contest, don't want anything to do with the Bible. No, there's the middle of the road. You say, well, how do I find the middle of the road? It's what the Word is. And I learned all this stuff, and I don't know everything. And so there was a lot that I didn't understand. Well, I'll tell you what, when you don't understand stuff, your flesh and mind want to what? Push against it. I don't know about you, but I don't like not knowing things. My brain does not like not knowing things. Hallelujah. Let me just say this as a side note for someone that needs to hear this. You know why tongues is fought so hard? Because people don't understand what's being said. And therefore they jump to the conclusion that it must be made up and crazy. When the Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue understands not what they're saying, howbeit in the spirit he speaks. Your natural mind was never supposed to understand it. But when people first hear, they think, oh, because I know what I thought. The judgment came out. I mean, I just was like, that is fanaticism. That is crazy, charismatic, Pentecostal stuff. You're just making words up. But why? Because my mind didn't understand it. When the Bible explained the whole thing. Amen. I remember the first time I was in the service and I saw people falling under the power of God. Pay attention, girls. Pay attention. I saw people falling under the power of God. We need people. Why do I say that? Because we want people to receive in our services. We have order, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody or make anyone feel bad, but you got to understand the house of God, to be able to receive, we got to have order. Praise God. And so I remember the first time I saw people falling under the power of God, getting hands laid on them and falling out. I said, fakers, fakers, fakers. And the first time a minister called me out in the service and went to lay hands on me. I mean, I'm talking about a self-conscious young man who's been in the church for 5 months. He says, be blessed. My feet lifted up off the floor. I fell back into the usher's arm, and I laid for the rest of the service on the floor as a self-conscious young man, glued to the floor. Yeah. Glued to the floor. Well, when you're self-conscious, I mean, I said it last week, if Justin decided to come up here and lay on his back on the floor, that's Justin. Wave your hand, Justin. If Justin decides to come lay on his back on the floor up here for the rest of the service, we're going to look and say, what's wrong with him? And we're talking about a self-conscious young man who was made fun of that stuff and thought they were faking it. And to tell you even a little bit more of the backstory, I went home that night after 3 nights of special meetings. I've been in the church for 5 months, never been in these special meetings. Things are happening. And I'm telling the Lord, I'm not receiving anything because I'm so critical in my mind and it's blowing my mind away. It's freaking me out, for lack of a better term. And I said, I don't know, but this is you. I trust my pastor. I'll ask him when these services are over to show me in the Word these things. If this is you, I want more of it. And so I cried out for the next half hour, 45 minutes to an hour, I want more of you. I want more of you. That's all I said. I want more of you. I want more of you. So the next night, the minister's preaching in the service, and he's preaching. The church is packed. And he stops mid-preaching, just stops mid-preaching. And you could tell something arrested his spirit. And he walked down to towards the middle, towards the three-fourths of the way to the back of the church, and he pointed at me. Now remember, I'm self-conscious. I'm only born again for 5 months. Yeah. And he points at me and he says, stand in the aisle. And I had a battle going on in my head. Which is going to make me look dumber? Standing in the aisle in front of people or ignoring blatantly what he's telling me to do? So I thought, you know, I think causing a strife in the riff, I'll just do what the guy says. So I got up and stood there, and I'm thinking, my mind is racing. I thought I wouldn't come back the first 3 nights. I'm never coming back here again. And he points at me and he says, son, he says, you want more of God, don't you? Now, what was I doing in my bedroom the night before? I want more of you. I want more of you. And he comes up to me. I said, when he said that, I'll tell you what, a warmth from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I knew this stuff is real. Unless he was a peeping Tom. And I was guessing that he wasn't, so I just believe that he heard from heaven, you know. Out of the whole service, only one minister or two, comes up to me, because I was a hungry young man that wanted more of God. And I meant it when I said it. And God said, I'll give you more of me. I'll show you. Because here the whole night, people are getting hands laid on. They're falling down. I'm like, fakers. Oh, did you see the minister push him over? And he comes and says, be blessed. And bam, off my feet, I flew in the air, back in their stirrups, and laid there glued. I could not move. And I laid there like this. The whole service. Till it was over, I did. And I asked my friends at the end of service, how hard did he hit me? Because it felt like he took a baseball bat and hit me. That was the force. It didn't hurt, but that's what the force felt like. And they said, he didn't get within 2 feet of you. Never even touched me. Never even touched me. Well, what was that? Someone that didn't understand something. But what if I'd have said, I don't get that. That's not how I was raised. That's not how I was taught. And so many people do this all the time with the word. They hear things and they don't get it. And it's uncomfortable to them, and it's foreign to them. And instead of reaching out to their help on earth, their pastor, and finding out, what does the Bible say? Help me understand this. Or hearing it more and more so faith develops. What do? They leave the church. They kick against it. How many times have I preached a series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and several people have heard it time and time again in my services, and still are not speaking in tongues? Because they heard it. Oh, God, he's talking about this again. That's weird to me. Well, you're missing out on what Jesus said is power in your life. You're missing out on what Jesus said was supernatural help for you. And that's why I teach that whole series and teach the benefits of it. And people say, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't want it. I can't. People, you can't grasp spiritual things with your natural mind. The Bible actually says the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the mind. You have to say, no, let me tell you how. You didn't grasp your salvation in your head. Let's think about your salvation for a second. So there was a man who was born of a virgin. And he was perfect. He never did anything wrong. And he went to the cross. And when he was on the cross, sins from people 2,000 years in the future were placed on him. And he went into the ground for 3 days, went to hell, to defeat this enemy called the devil. See, it's crazy. But your heart knows it. You know it's true. Your mind tells you you're nuts. You can't grasp spiritual things with the natural mind. They're never meant to be received that way. And when you come to some of the hardest people that I have getting to work faith for are analytical smart people. I dealt with a doctor one time, just could not, because it just blew their mind. Why? They just know too much natural stuff. The natural stuff's getting in the way. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's good to know that natural stuff. But when the natural stuff starts trumping what the Bible says can happen, and they just couldn't receive it. Why? Just try to receive it with their head. No, you got to receive it with your heart. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, last but not least, let's just real quick go to verse 19, Matthew 13, 19. And the Amplified, can you pull that up in the Amplified, Kim Lai, Matthew 13, 19? I'm just going to go through this and get us out of here by 7:15. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it. It's not just understanding it, it's grasping it. The word grasp means to seize and to hold firmly. Now, in Luke's version of the parable of the sower, there's three different versions of it. I don't believe John had a version of it. In Luke's version of the parable of the sower, he talks about the seed falling on people's hearts. And when the seed fell on people's hearts, the devil came and took it out. Well, with this, it talks about how they didn't seize it or grasp it. And now think about, if you look at what Jesus said, and when he talked about the natural parable of the sower, What was it likened to? Birds. The seed hit the ground, but the birds came by and picked the seed up and took the seed. The seed never got in the ground. There was no production. Now, I do things sometimes, and when I finally get to the other side or I see things from a different perspective, I think, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Why would I do that or think that way? When I mean, there was literally a space in time where I thought, that's going to be, what's going to happen if the blackberry bush grows in my belly? And then I got out of that thinking, what are you thinking about? Well, I had a plot of land at home on my grass that had gotten dug up, and I needed to put grass seed down. And so I had thrown grass seed down and just threw it down on that fresh topsoil. And I don't know, all of a sudden I just got real excited about all the birds that were showing up to my house. And I didn't think anything. Honestly, this is what I'm telling you, my brain, how it works. I just was enjoying looking them up on the internet, what they were, watching them with my high-powered, fancy hunting binoculars. This is neat. We got lots of birds here. Never even crossed my mind. They're here for the seed. You say, you are dumb. I didn't tell you I wasn't. I need Jesus. I'm telling you. It's the truth. And then it dawned on me when just a little bit of grass was coming up here and a little bit of grass was coming up here. And I called my cousin, who's a landscaper, and I said, cousin-in-law, I said, Colin, I did what you said. I bought the grass seed that you bought, and I threw it on the ground. He said, what happened? I said, the birds ate it all. He says, didn't you tamp it into the ground? I said, no, you left the tamping part out. He said, put grass seed down. I told him what kind. He didn't tell me anything. He thought, I thought you'd know that. I guess that's just the thing you're supposed to know. He said, take your lawn tractor, do it again, throw it down on the ground, take your lawn tractor and roll over that and get that down in the soil. Well, I did that. Birds still showed up, but they weren't able to get what they were before. And the grass came, and now it's filled with green. Say, so how does that apply to me? Well, go to Romans 10 and verse 17, and we'll close with this. Glory to God. Glory to God. Romans 10, 17. There's a bird watching the expose out at the Anderson's house. Come on and see the birds. I thought they must just be migrating here for right now. Yeah, they're going back and telling us there's an idiot that lives over here and he don't tamp his seed into the ground. That's, we'll go over him. He'll feed us real good. Praise God. It says, so then faith cometh. By hearing and hearing. See that? Hearing and hearing the Word of God. You can't get it in one sowing. What am I talking about? Many times people hear a message and they realize, that's my help. He just preached on healing. He just preached on finances. He just preached on my marriage. He just preached on my children. He just preached on how to believe. That's my help. Amen. Praise God. Walk out and just expect the change to come. That's not how, see, we have a part to play. Our part's faith. But faith is not produced by one hearing. See, why he said that people, they don't grasp it and seize it. You know why they don't grasp it and comprehend it? Because they didn't take time to bury the seed down in, and the devil just came and took that seed off the surface. Sometimes you need to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it till it gets in your heart, until what the Bible says is the day star rises in your heart. It's all of a sudden, boom, the light bulbs go off. You know you got harvest then. But so many people hear it one time and walk out of here. And I ask people this all the time. You know, you hear me talk about healing, but you tell me why we have healing. Come on, tell me. You should know it by now. I've only preached healing series here for 6 years, 7 years, several times. Tell me about it. Well, I just know God's a healer. And you said, no, you didn't take time to put the word in your heart. You just heard it. Oh, I want that. You don't get what you want. You don't get even what you need. You don't get what you deserve. You get what you believe for. And faith comes by the continual hearing. Well, you've heard me talk about God meeting your needs so much around here. Well, you tell me now. You preach it to me. Why you can expect your needs to be met. If you can't, you say, the word's not in you. You never took the time to put it in you. You just expect it because you heard it one time. Your finances have changed. Not how it works. Satan came and took that word. That word that was meant to produce in your life came and ripped it right out of your life. Why? You didn't take time to put it down in. He said, well, I don't have time to listen to the word over and over again. I don't have time to be sick. I don't have time to be broke. I don't have time to live in depression. I don't. We'll close to Joshua 1:8. Glory to God. You made me do it now. Yeah, easy for you to say amen, go to another scripture. You're not Amy. Joshua 1:8. She's down there with that mask on the whole time, running around chasing those kids. Joshua 1:8. Y'all have been thanking her for that. Joshua 1:8. Here we go. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein once a week. You shall meditate in there when it's convenient and you have time. No. You shall meditate in there day and night. What's he saying? I don't give a rip what your schedule looks like. I don't give a rip what you've made your life to look like. If you want a harvest in production, you got to find time. Amen. I don't have time to be broke and sick and depressed and full of fear and worry and anxiety. The word will produce fruit that will take care of those things. And he said, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all is written, for then, not before then, for then shall your way be made prosperous and you shall have good success. What did it say in Psalm chapter 1? Blessed are they that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law they meditate what? Day and night. And then what happens? They're like the tree planted by the rivers of living water. What does Proverbs 4 and verse 20 say? My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart out of your heart. Right? Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those that find them. What's he saying? Got to have good attendance to the word. How do you want faith produced in your life? Well, I don't have enough faith. Got to hear it and hear it. What's hearing and hearing? Taking time. Amen. And so many people just hear it one time and didn't get it down in and wonder why. He said prosperity was mine. Why didn't it happen? The birds got it in the form of the devil. You do realize. People say to me all the time, Pastor Mike, what should I be looking at in the Bible? I'm going to start in Genesis and read it all the way through. You better not. You'll be lost in the sauce. What in the world is this? What are they saying in Leviticus? Deuteronomy is blowing my mind. It's not how you do it. Once a week, your pastor, this is the spiritual grocery store. You see, when I go to the grocery store, there's a breakfast I like to eat. It's eggs, over easy, with English muffin, with butter, and the red stuff on it, which is what, raspberry? I think it's raspberry, the red stuff. And bacon. Well, I bring that home, and you know what? I get my groceries, but I go home, and the English muffin's not toasted, or buttered, or jellied. The bacon is raw in the package. And the eggs, are just can't eat them like that. Got to do something with them. Well, this is like the grocery store. I give you what to take home and prepare. And then what do you look at? What am I supposed to look at, Pastor Mike? How about you take what I preached one time a week for 52 weeks out of the year? Do you know the growth that would come out of you if you take the word that I preach, take it home, and bury that in you? A harvest would come forth, but so many people hear it one time, never hear it again. And they're not doing Joshua 1:8, they're not doing Psalms 1, they're not doing Proverbs 4, and they're wondering, where's my help? Come on now. Just trying to help you, praise God. Well, we looked at the wayside ground. Next week, we'll look at the next ground. I'm going to be preaching it in South Dayton tomorrow. So if you want a double dose, hear it tomorrow and hear it next week. But they're 1 week ahead of you because of the, you know, taking the weather off last week. We didn't have to do that in South Dayton. It was fine on Sunday morning. But Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We magnify you and glorify you. Father, you are our help. The word is our answer. Father, we can't live without the word. We need a steady watering and sowing of the word in our life for harvest. Take away seed, you take away harvest. And Father, we need harvest. So I just pray, Father, people would not be offended, people would not be upset, people would not be grieved by this, but they would realize, Father, this is their help. And Lord, you said in the Bible, in Hebrews, that you correct those whom you love. You chasten those whom you love. So if we get correction, if we get called out in a service, by the word of God, we know you're just loving us and trying to bring us higher. I don't discipline my kids to make their life worse. I don't tell my kids when they're doing something wrong to hurt their lives and to make them worse. I want them to do the right thing so they walk in blessings, so they stay safe, so they stay well in Jesus' name. Father, may people have that heart. May people realize that's what where we're coming from, Father, to have a sincere heart towards the Word of God in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. We mentioned salvation. I'm not sure if everyone in here is born again. I have a hunch that we are, but if not, you know, there might be someone in here, or definitely, I don't know who's watching online or when they'll watch the service. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're watching this, that is your first step. Because once you get born again, you're in the family of God. God says once you receive Jesus, you've become His child. There's such a misconception in the world and in Hollywood that God is the father of everybody. He's not. If you're not born again, He's not your father. The Bible says to those that receive Jesus, John chapter 1 and verse 12, to those people He gave the right to be called the children of God. God loves you. He wants to be a part of your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. You're not joining this church. You're not saying, I'm becoming a member of this church. I don't care if you ever come back again. It doesn't depend on your salvation. And if you're watching online, you can receive Jesus. The Bible says, call on His name, you'll be saved. John 3:16 says, if you just believe, God made it so simple for us. Made it so simple for us. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you want to receive Him tonight, again, I won't call you forward. I won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody in the service? You're not sure that you'd go to heaven. You're not sure that you're a child of God and you want to be. With heads bowed, eyes closed, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Anybody at all before we close? Just lift. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else want to receive the Lord here tonight that's never done it before? Now, if you've done this, He's not, and they had a bad month, a bad week, a bad year, a bad decade, just repent. He's merciful. But we had one hand in here, and if there were others, maybe, you know, online or something, you can join with us. But that person that raised their hand, listen, this is a one-shot deal. If you'll believe in Jesus with all your heart here tonight, He'll save you. He ain't going to take that away from you. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, along with us, along with that person that raised their hand, anyone else that needed to, everybody in here and those online that are watching, repeat this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe in You. I believe in Your Son, Jesus. I believe He died and rose again. And I ask Him to come into my heart. Tonight I make Him my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Praise God. If you prayed that for the first time and meant it, oh, things are going to start getting good for you. We're excited for you. But if you prayed that and you're online watching, send me an email, give me a phone call. You know, heaven's ours, but we have a lot of time till we get there. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I love you. Appreciate you. There's going to be no prayer tonight. We're going to be doing more of the corporate prayer, more picking them up on Tuesday services, hoping to have a Tuesday service next week. We do it on Wednesday nights. But be praying on your own and different things. And look forward to talking to some of you at the end of service here. If anybody would need prayer, come forward. We'd love to pray with you. I'll put my mask on, you know, and pray and believe God with you. But don't forget to put your offering in the bucket as you leave. Love you. Appreciate you. We'll see you on Saturday. You're dismissed.